This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's go, man.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this morning and this final hour on the DA show, Illustrated Radio, if you will, Layla and the St. Louis Blues on the ice with the cup. One of the best sports stories ever and could be the sports story of the year. And we'll talk about Kawhi Leonard and his moment for history tonight going into game number 6. But for those just tuning in, you St. Louis Blues fans in Missouri, the Show Me State, Illinois, the greater St. Louis area, or those across the country, it is time to salute you, because half a century passed and you had to go on the road to get it, and Jordan Binnington, the scientist, was amazing, absolutely amazing, and you went on road ice and you walked away with the cup. A franchise that had never won a Stanley Cup before exercised all the demons after losing to the Bobby Orr flying through the air Boston Bruins the last time they were in the cup. Exercising all types of demons, blowing game 6 at home, only to go on the road to a delirious TD Garden in Boston and dominating to walk out with a 4-1 victory. It is time to salute the St. Louis Blues. Hashtag play Gloria.
Tarasenko in front for a shot by Shen. He scores! Braden Shen gives the St. Louis Blues a 3-0 lead.
Gathered up by a cherry save. Rebound in front. Oh, a remarkable play by Binnington, as it could not be Paul Kobe on the rebound by Nordstrom.
They did it! It's over! The game is over! The series is over! The wait is over! And the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions for the first time in franchise history!
Gloria, you know you want a Gloria.
But what a feeling. You know, all that hard work, it just, for that moment, to have that moment is incredible, and very happy to be a Stanley Cup champion.
We went through a lot as a team, and, you know, we ended up battling our way into the playoffs, so then you start to think about, you know, what can happen
now. Call the cows now, Gloria!
10 seconds to go. The longest wait for a first title any team in this league has had. For the first time in their history, the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions!
Thunder! Gloria!
Congratulations to the St. Louis Blues. It's time to freaking call the cows now. Thunder, you know you won a Gloria. You're Stanley Cup flipping champions.
Call the cows now, Gloria.
I'll tell you, I had no faith, None whatsoever that the Blues were going to get that thing done. The way that they lost at home in game number six felt like the pressure had completely collapsed on top of them. I thought that the St. Louis Post-Dispatch had ruined all of the karma by congratulating the Blues on their championship before game six, going on the road into a city that collects championships like ring pops. I figured, forget it. No chance. And Jordan Binnington, young netminder in between the pipes there, I figured it was over. Salted away. Dunsky, that they had blown their shot in game number six. And Binnington's goalkeeping in that first period was extraordinary. I mean, the save that he made, the fact, if that becomes 1 or 2 nothing Bruins, game, set, match, it's over. The Blues are not coming back. He kept them in that game and essentially won them the Stanley Cup by all of those saves early. And then the Blues converted on the first goal. And then that second goal right before the end of the first period, right before the first intermission, was such a crusher. It gave them that security blanket. It gave them a little bit more leash. 2-0 is way different than 1-0. And then in the second period, again, Binnington was great. And when we got to the third period, the save that he had in front of the net on Nordstrom, I mean, the Bruins are peppering and pressuring and coming after Binnington, and he's about to break. The Blues are about to break. They are just trying to salt away time. Seconds felt like minutes or hours. And Nordstrom is on the doorstep, about to punch it in to make it 2-1, and that arena was going to explode. And Binnington stonewalls them. Incredible save right on the doorstep. You heard in that montage, Doc Emmerich, NBC Sports, lose his mind. And from then on, it just felt like the Blues were meant to do it. That save goes down in history. And then back the other way, Braden Schenn finishes a great pass from the corner. It's 3-0, and pop the celebration, pop the champagne. The Blues are Stanley Cup champions. What an amazing night. What an amazing story. And then just think about how they had to do this. The Blues have never won a Stanley Cup. The last time they were even in the Cup final, they had lost to the Bruins 48 years ago. They faced the Bruins again. It's the torture of Boston and its control over St. Louis. The torment of the Patriots beating the Rams in 2001. The torment of the Red Sox over the Cardinals in 2004. The torment of the flying Bobby Orr goal way back when. This is your chance to exercise the demons, and you have game six at home, and then the local paper congratulates you before game six, and you blow it, you get wrecked, and you got to go to Boston for game seven. I mean, all of the things that had to happen, and oh, by the way, they were the worst team in hockey in January before they made this turnaround. It's an extraordinary run by the Blues, and when it comes to breaking droughts, ending droughts in sports, the Blues just put another nail into the wall. You had the Cubs, the Cavs, the Eagles, the Capitals, the Seahawks, the Saints, the Astros, the Blackhawks, the Kings, the Bruins, the Warriors, the San Francisco Giants, the Royals, all in the last decade, breaking 30-year or more streaks of not having a championship. Last night was awesome. What an impressive group of young men. What an impressive organization. And we'll talk about Layla's appearance yesterday. But if you didn't see that after the game and have a little bit of tear come to your eye, I'd be shocked. Jim Nance, during the Masters win by Tiger, seemed to say, if you're not emotional here, you're not human. Tiger Woods, I'm going to put him on the side. Layla Anderson battling her disease and being there for the Stanley Cup. Now that's real emotion, Jim. That's really what makes you sure that you're still ticking. Gloria!
Call the cows now, Gloria.
Thunder!
You know you want a Gloria, Gloria.
Sounds like the cows are dying. Oh, here go the cows. We called them there at the slaughterhouse.
Thunder!
Gloria!
They're becoming steaks as we speak.
Thunder! Gloria!
That's my new hamburger.
Gloria! You know you want a Gloria!
Tonight is game number 6 of the NBA Finals, and the Toronto Raptors can wrap things up for their first championship as well ever. Perhaps we see the Blues win last night and the Toronto Raptors win tonight. If Kawhi Leonard does this, his legacy is defined forever. Obviously, he's a great player, and people knew he was a great player even before he went to Toronto. But there was a stain on his reputation after how he left the San Antonio Spurs. He was the best player for the Spurs when they beat the Heat a couple of years ago to win the championship. And that was a team that still had Tony and Manu and Tim Duncan, but it was clearly Kawhi's team, and at least from the sense that he was the best player on the floor for them. Maybe he wasn't the natural leader, but he definitely was the best player. And the way that he left San Antonio left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. He forced his way out. He refused to play. He quit on his team. But after you watch Kevin Durant go down and lose the entire season, I hope we all have more respect for what Kawhi Leonard decided to do last year. Am I saying he was perfect in it? No. Because I think communication would have been far more key and could have been far better, rather. But Kawhi Leonard's not a communicator, very obviously. That's not his strength. He protected himself, or his uncle protected him, or his team protected him. But for whatever reason, he did not feel like he should come back and compete for that Spurs team. Came back this year and has been a one-man wrecking crew. He did not push himself to come back. He was not intimidated to come back. He was not guilted into coming back. He didn't come back and then forced his way out of town. Well, if Kawhi Leonard wins the championship tonight or in game number 7, all of that, I hope, is forgiven, because he would have delivered exactly the best thing possible that the Raptors could have hoped for, and he might still leave. Then you rented him for a year. He never said he wanted to go to Toronto. You took a risk on that, but that he would have killed himself to win a championship for you. He would have played through pain. He would have risen to the occasion. He would have set a great example for the rest of his teammates. He would have said all of the right things. That Kawhi Leonard would have been the absolute best possible thing you could have hoped for in trading for him. If Kawhi Leonard has that moment tonight like he did in game number 5, where he goes on a 10-0 run in the fourth quarter to give the lead to the Raptors and they actually win it, Kawhi Leonard has an all-time historic NBA Finals performance and an all-time historic NBA postseason run. And we're on the verge of that. We're talking a lot about Kevin Durant and a lot about the end of the Warriors dynasty and a lot about a lot of things that don't have to do with Kawhi in terms of where we view him historically. If he finishes this thing off, it is going to be an all-timer. It's his moment. Now, if the Toronto Raptors lose in 7 and they blow a 3-1 series lead, guess what? He doesn't get those accolades. He would have still been great, but the ring is the thing. So he's got to finish this thing off. But it has been breathtaking to watch how great Kawhi has been in this postseason, and I have absolutely fallen in love with the type of player he's become. Because even on this stage, when everybody's looking at him, unlike the Spurs where he could kind of blend into the forest of stars there, all eyes are on him, and he is no-nonsense, all business. There is so much non-business in sports these days. The posturing, the marketing, the branding, the tweeting, the trash-talking, the interviewing, the fashion. All of this gets baked into the modern athlete in so many ways, and Kawhi is about none of those things. It is all business all the time. And I love how emotionally detached he seemingly is, despite attaining greatness. When we come back, Layla touching the cup last night. Is that the best sports moment of the year? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Are the glitch in the simulation.
These bots can be destroyed and thrashed in seconds. A lot of them have fire and flame and the ability to flip their opponents.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, okay.
22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The DA show has the best of video clips every single day available on YouTube. So you can watch at watchda.com. Cap does an amazing job producing the simulcasts in the back to come to your device every single day, anywhere at watchda.com, but also the best of video clips available on YouTube and on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDA Show. There's just some very subtle drops that I love. Oh, okay is one of them.
Oh, okay.
When we were in Boise, I loved talking to so many of our listeners that would identify what their favorite drop was. And one guy told me, I love Oh, Okay. Who's Oh, Okay? I said, Oh, Okay.
Oh, Okay.
And Oh, Okay was Robert in Georgia?
Jonathan in Georgia.
Jonathan in Georgia.
Caught me before Family Feud.
Who used to call us in the evening show days, right before or during when he was watching Family Feud.
I don't think that's true.
And every single time he would call, you could either hear Family Feud in the background. You could absolutely hear Steve Harvey in the background or while he was talking. Or he would also sometimes put the phone on hold because, to be honest, his takes were pretty bad. And so if we took some time to get to him because we were on something else, he would put the phone down and just wait on hold, and we would go to him and then just hear Family Feud playing, and he would probably be in the other room, the kitchen. Sometimes he was sleeping. We could hear him sleep in the background. So Jonathan in Georgia is a great guy, but he always seemed surprised by just regular facts that most people knew.
You caught me before Family Feud. Good job.
And so I just said something back to him about something very, I thought, very standard.
Oh, okay.
And it really made him think, oh. Huh.
How can this be?
Okay. All right. I got you now. Oh, okay. I also love head coach Mike Riley.
That's a very good name.
Because Mike Riley, I asked a question and he just was really impressed. He's the only guy ever on the show to be really impressed with a question. You know, really like, wow, Damon, you really thought about that.
That's very good, Damon.
This drop had been buried in the archives for a while, but now that I got my new machine, I wanted to bring it back out.
First time caller, too.
He said, this guy called up and loved the show, and he said, you know, DA, been listening for to the show for a long time. I really love the show. And I said, oh, thanks very much. And he added, I'm a first time caller as well. And the heh-heh is so good.
First time caller, too.
The heh-heh is the heh-heh. First time caller, too.
First time caller, too.
And then another one that I think doesn't get enough run that I'm trying to bring back is Foxy in Canada.
Okay, how long you been on the air, DA?
Because she called in like a spitfire, and she had all of these takes and wanted to grill me about my career and had told us that she had won multiple contests on local radio.
Yes, she calls all the time. I'm dealing with some of those now on the local radio side. I'm rubbing them out.
She's in Canada, possibly a Raptors fan.
Okay, how long you been on the air, DA?
I just love, like, the Inquisition. Like, I'm going to call up this host and really grill him about what he's doing on the air and how long he's been going on and what his career's looked like.
I didn't like that woman.
Foxy? Her name was Foxy.
Foxy, yeah. That was an egotistical maniac, that woman.
Maniac?
Maniac. When you call the radio every day to win every day, like that becomes your goal every day is to wake up and win a radio contest. It's different to, you know, once in a while win and enjoy it. Every day, that's like her life's goal. I got to accumulate tickets and do it. Like, you're a maniac.
So interestingly, Mraz has called Foxy in Canada a maniac today, and Nick Van Exel psychopathic because
what's up?
He didn't know what iced coffee was.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
Schwartz a maniac?
He's just a slob. Ice Kid was in a sack race I saw yesterday at a Long Island Ducks game, so they have that going for them.
And you'll never see me coming.
I honestly think Layla Anderson is one of the best sports stories of the year and maybe the best sports story of the year. Layla Anderson is 11 years old, and she is a huge, enormous St. Louis Blues fan. She's battling a life-threatening autoimmune disease, so she has been essentially unable to leave the house or the hospital for a long time. She has HLH, something that only 15 other children in the world have been diagnosed with. 15 other children in the world. Earlier in the postseason, the Blues had gotten wind that they had Layla as one of their super fans, and she was finally allowed to leave her home. Again, it's either the house or the hospital. And so she went earlier in the playoffs to a game in St. Louis, and she was amazed and loving it and excited. Well, she's become kind of a good luck charm for the team, and they're an eminently likable team, and the Gloria thing has just taken off, and a city that has been without a hockey championship ever, and a fan base that's gone 50 years, never seeing a cup, never even been in a cup final since the early 70s is pretty amazing in itself. But then the Blues surprise Layla, and we played the audio yesterday on the show, her mom videotaped telling Layla, we're going to game 7. And I was so filled with joy seeing it, but I'll have to admit, I feared the worst. I feared that they would go all the way there and see a loss. I feared that they would go all the way to Boston and have the Bruins win, and there wouldn't be a really happy ending. I thought the Bruins were going to win yesterday. And not only, obviously, did the Blues win, but Layla was in the middle of the celebration. And when you saw the video and saw the camera shots and saw the still shots online of 11-year-old Layla touching the cup, I mean, she's on the ice with the freaking cup. You know, sometimes the world is really cool. Sometimes the universe has our back. Sometimes life is good and sports is magical. And last night was one of those moments. And I was thrilled for Blues fans. I was thrilled for the city of St. Louis. But most of all, I was thrilled that Layla got a happy ending last night. That was so freaking cool. Layla Anderson, 11-year-old St. Louis superfan and Stanley Cup champion, spoke to reporters after the game last night.
I couldn't thank them enough. Even the whole town of hockey, all of the teams have supported me. Just the fans, like, they're so nice to me, even though they support a different team.
Sportsnet Canada with the audio. Layla Anderson on the ice, touching the Stanley Cup, celebrating with the players, gave me chills last night. I was so happy. I'm not a Blues fan. I was just so happy that that's how this thing ended. It was the coolest possible way it could end. And sports sometimes is magic. So, so cool. Congrats to Layla. Congrats to the Blues. That was an awesome night. Awesome. Go Blues. When we come back here on the show, speaking of which, in honor of Layla, Mraz is going to do his karaoke rendition of Gloria. Call the cows now. We're going to play the instrumental, give Mraz the lyrics, and he's going to do karaoke of Gloria next. DA, CBS Sports Radio, and the scientist.
This year like last year. The best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And a fine Thirsty Thursday, Throwback Thursday as well to you, the DA Show listeners, the D-Aliens that make this thing go every single day. Thanks so much for being with us every single day, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific. And the PGP is out, the show about the show within the show, including a deep dive with the one and only Hurricane Jen as part of Permission Granted Profiles with Mraz. Mraz and Hurricane Jen. You can only imagine how that conversation goes. Check it out. PGP this week. All places podcasts are available and also on the DA Show's own podcast feed. Well, the St. Louis Blues are Stanley Cup champs, and that means that Gloria will be played on repeat throughout the city of St. Louis for just about ever, at least until October. The reason this became their anthem was back in January, the Blues went to Philly to take on the Flyers, and they were mired in a terrible start of the season where the coach had been fired. They were in last place, fewest amount of points in the entire league in January, and they went to a personal bar that was more like a speakeasy, more like a bar in a house of a Blues fan that lived in Philadelphia. So they were there along with some other regular patrons, one of those membership bars, and some drunk dude in this bar kept yelling, "Play Gloria, play Gloria," the 1982 hit by Laura Branigan. So by the time they left that, as the Blues players left that speakeasy, that personal bar, that membership bar, they were humming this song to themselves, singing it as they left, probably a few Molsons deep, maybe Anheuser-Busch products since they're from St. Louis, and went out and pitched a shutout the next day with a big win against the Flyers, and that was kind of a turning point of the season. The scientist, Jordan Binnington, pitching a shutout, and that turned around the season, and from there, they went all the way to the Stanley Cup final and ended up winning last night in game number 7. And so Gloria has become their anthem. And since Mraz has given us some tremendous drops, having sung last round his rendition of Gloria, I think it's time to play Gloria Karaoke. Pete the Body Bilotti, cue the music.
Gloria, you're always on the run now, running after somebody, you gotta get him somehow. I think you gotta slow down before you start to blow it. I think you're headed for a breakdown, so be careful not to show it. You really don't remember, wasn't something that he said. All the voices in your head calling Gloria, Gloria. Don't you think you're falling? If everybody wants you, why isn't anybody calling? You don't have to answer. Leave them hanging on the line. Oh, oh, calling. Oh, 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 calling Gloria. Gloria, Gloria. I think they got your number. Calling those cows, Gloria. I think you got the yelliest, Gloria, that you've been living under. Gloria. But you really don't remember. Was it something that they said? All the voices in your head call it Gloria. Gloria.
Oh God.
How's it gonna go down? Will you meet him on the main line, or will you catch him on the rebound? Will you marry for the money, take a lover in the afternoon?
I feel like your innocence slipping away. Don't you believe it's coming back soon, Gloria? And you really don't remember. Was it something that he said? All the voices in your head. Call it Gloria. Gloria.
Okay,
don't
right.
You think you're falling?
No, it's over.
Call
it's
the cows.
No, no. Oh, God.
That was truly horrible.
Oh, it was a bit.
Bogus just tweeted, the Blues are in the process of returning the cup right now. That was awful.
I didn't think that was that bad.
That was terrible.
That was certainly better than a lot of the huge freeze stuff we've heard.
Woof. I don't know. You know what? That's a good question. I think listeners will have to admit that while you guys might like Mraz better than Huge Freeze, his singing is an atrocity and actually highlights that Huge can actually sing. I give you credit for trying to get to the high note, but my God, that was awful.
I'm a baritone, but I had to, you know, it's a vocally eclectic song. I got to change up.
You really got into it.
Yeah, well, if you want to make fun of me all the time, I'm going to deliver at the peak performance.
And you ran through it, too. It's like you were running for a marathon.
Yeah.
Totally missed the lyrics.
Well, I didn't have the screen in front of me like lighting up red when I'm supposed to hit words.
Yeah, no, you blew through a lot of yield signs in that one.
No beat anything.
Tonight is game number 6 of the NBA Finals. Can the Toronto Raptors close out tonight? I think they can. I don't think they will. I think this Raptors team is actually built to win tonight, as we saw them win on the road in games 3 and games 4. Of course, one of those games was minus Klay Thompson and minus Kevon Looney. But this Raptors team, I don't think fears going to Oracle. I don't think they fear going across the country. I don't think they fear that crowd, a place where so many foes have been dunked on, if you will. I think they've taken the Kawhi approach. Even Steven, steady Eddie, level-headed. I think, though, there's going to be so much emotion inside that building. And I think that the Warriors are so prideful about this arena and about their history there. And also remember, it's not just an arena. They are actually moving cities. They are going from Oakland to San Francisco. And for those outside of the Bay Area, that might not seem like a big deal. But for those inside the Bay Area or understand the social climate, the politics behind it, and just how culture is defined in the Bay Area and California, those are two different worlds. They are going from their roots in Oakland, which has been the everyman, which has been the blue-collar working class, in an old arena that has none of the bells and whistles that the new stuff does, to a gleaming downtown palace in San Francisco where the money and the influence and the tech is. And there is a lot of resentment towards that. And I think that this whole year-long serenade of Oracle has been cool, but it's also, to me, a little transparent from Warriors brass to try to make sure they don't, to make sure they properly, quote-unquote, honor the Oakland fans that carried them through to being rich. You know, they get to open up the Chase Center because they're rich now. But when they weren't rich, they were selling out games because the people of Oakland showed up to watch basketball. Not good basketball, not winning basketball, not Splash Brothers championship basketball. They showed up to watch crummy basketball in a dumpy arena. And they made it loud and proud. And now, basically, what the Warriors brass is doing is they're trading up. They got rich, and now they're dumping their high school sweetheart. Because, well, now we can trade up for a better-looking chick. And so this year-long serenade of Oracle, I've had a bit of a cockeye to, because I think that it's kind of transparent that, yeah, we're sorry we're leaving, but we really loved you. I think that there's a lot of pride inside that team and that organization that we cannot go out like this. Now, they almost did, because they lost 3 and 4 and then went out to game 5, but somehow pulled it out of the fire. I think tonight, after losing KD, it's going to be really hard, really, really hard to beat the Warriors tonight in that arena with this as the backdrop. But I think Toronto can, and they can because one thing that I think has been overlooked many times in this series is that they are specifically built to beat this Warriors team. the way that they are built, which is long, which is athletic, which is physical, which doesn't mind mucking it up, and has scorers across the floor that are willing to take shots and make shots, makes them a particularly bad matchup for the Warriors, minus Kevin Durant. With KD on the floor, nobody's a bad matchup for the Warriors. Without KD, look, Kawhi is the thing that everything runs through for the Raptors. But Ibaka's physical down low. Pascal Siakam is very athletic and long. Marcus Gasol can step out and hit threes. Kyle Lowry doesn't mind contact. Danny Green's been there before, hit a ton of big shots. They can knock down shots going six or seven deep. Fred VanVleet has now hit a number of shots, and he's also kind of a rough and tumble, physical type of guard. They have the roster that can win. And I just think that that's underplayed in this series, that out of everybody the Warriors could have played, Toronto was the worst matchup. This is the worst matchup of the NBA for them. So Toronto can win tonight. They can close tonight, and they should close tonight. They really should. They're the better team right now without Kevin Durant on the floor. But I don't think they do. I think this goes back to Game 7 in Toronto at Scotiabank Arena. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. It's a throwback fail on this date 3 years ago when one of the most shocking upsets in DA show history and arguably sports history happened. Meraz had held all of the competitive eating belts here on the DA show. Chicken challenges, chicken McNugget eating, hot dog eating, everything eating. He had held every single belt. He had unified all of the belts of competitive eating here on the DA show. And then for another chicken challenge, he took on a cheerleader, a dancer, the Gotham City dancer, who came in to eat chicken wings against him, saying, "No, I can eat a lot of chicken wings." So we scoffed, yeah, sure. Patted her on the head. "Okay, I'm sure that you're really good at eating chicken wings, but this is the thick tater. This is Meraz. And this is what he does for a profession. He eats lots of food, especially on Sundays, including chicken wings. And on the side, as his part-time gig, he produces a radio show." So she comes in here, and honestly, I never thought I'd see the day when Meraz fell in a wing-eating contest to somebody who was half his size. Jacob Wilkins on the call. And when you think about Boston losing last night and the Warriors on the verge of losing tonight, that's this rolled into one.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Herb and Meraz are fighting over how many... I think Shauna leads. I think Shauna leads.
And that's why Morale is trying to stop her.
Shauna leads. Shauna is down to five wings. Meraz is down to eight. He's slowing down. Moralia is also slowing down. Shauna could win this thing.
Oh, my. What? This won't be a Meraz retirement ceremony with him ending up on top at this rate.
Boo, Jabba!
This is going to be a Meraz funeral.
She's signaling.
He is losing.
The cheerleaders are cheering her on in her first eating contest ever. Meraz looks like he's going to bow out.
Meraz is down to six. He's on one knee.
No Moss, potentially.
Holy cow. This is outrageous. This is a blowout. Meraz is on one knee.
Almost out for the count. Almost knocked out.
Meraz, how do you feel?
I'm not going to survive.
Meraz isn't going to survive!
He's not going to survive! Is Meraz going to survive? He's not going to survive!
The final wing! Sean is going to end up winning this thing! In all my life, of all the dramatic things!
Oh my goodness gracious! Of all the dramatic things...
A Gotham City upset. Shauna from the Bronx. A Bronx Tale. Your 2016 chicken challenge.
She laughed, everybody.
Champion.
Up to show. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes.
And Meraz will not finish. Knockout by default.
In all my years,
In all my years, I could have never thought that this could happen.
You're failures!
Failures! Shauna just absolutely crushed it. Oh, my goodness.
DA, we've had so many of these where we thought that potential competitors would come in and knock Mraz off his perch. And with respect to Shauna, we didn't see it, but tonight is the night.
I'm stunned.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. That was this date 3 years ago. Jacob Wilkins was a star of all stars doing play-by-play for our events. And then we lost that Jacob Wilkins. Somehow he transformed into the bozo meandering through that interview at the Vegas winter meetings.
Who's quiet during a no-hitter but gets up for that upset.
That was one of the most shocking sporting event upsets of all time. And perhaps tonight a dynasty ends, kind of like Mraz's chicken challenge and competitive eating dynasty ended that night. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com on the simulcast, and Andrew Bogish, Sir Andrew Bogish, on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. I'm off tomorrow. I'll see you Monday. The Mothership Disconnect.
Holy Gloria! Gloria!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.